This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Westworld After Show. I am your host, Maria Elena Menounos. Jordan.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now.
Sorry, guys.
I think we had someone just playing in the background, but it's the Westworld After Show. Yay!
Oh! Okay. Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Sorry, I thought we were starting over. Welcome to the Westworld After Show. We are talking about Season 3, Episode 1, Parche Domine. I am your host, Elena Jordan, and joining me today is the entire panel. Whoop, whoop!
Woo!
You guys, remotely, but we are here. Alice Ford in the house.
Hey guys, super happy to be here.
And by in the house, we mean her own house. also, Nate Miller. Hey, Nate.
What's up, guys? Very excited for a new season.
We've missed you, so very excited to see you again, even virtually.
Digital hug.
And another big digital hug to Carrie Lane.
Woo-hoo. Hey.
Hello.
So nice to at least see everybody.
So we are all here because we all want to talk about this incredible show with you guys. I know a lot of people are probably in similar situations with us, hanging out at home. So we wanted to hang out with all of you guys.
Yeah.
So right off the top, what did you three think of this episode for season three?
I guess I'll go first. You know, it's so different than the first two seasons. Obviously, now we're in the real world and we don't even go into the parks at all. I really enjoyed the kind of like change of scenery, I guess, and change of pace, but still seeing some of our favorite characters as well. I definitely have a lot of questions and I definitely have a lot of people that I want to see kind of more about what is going to happen with them, like Charloris, which I think is the new name for her.
I like that.
I'm excited to see where the season goes for sure.
I like that we are essentially really shifted to a more sci-fi traditional show because it's all the technology in present day and the real world, which is really cool because we saw you know, some aspects of technology, but it's really kind of neat to see what direction they've taken it for people's regular day-to-day lives. And yeah. How these characters are starting to intersect is like, oof, this is going to be a fun season.
What'd you think, Nate?
Yeah, I thought it was an awesome premiere. I think just right off the bat, they addressed a lot of concerns that people had from last season. The pacing was fantastic. It wasn't really hard to follow at all. Just like you guys said, it's a great setup for this new kind of setting of what is the real world in the future. But most honestly, I'm really impressed with Caleb and the way they set up his character. It's hard to introduce a new character into a third season, especially in a complicated show like this. And I think in one episode, they made him very relatable, made him we really kind of understand his motivation and why he's going to, you know, eventually go down this path with Dolores.
I agree 100% with everything that all of you guys have said. This, I feel like they had to focus a lot on Caleb too, because we had to care about him so much this episode. So I do think in the future, we'll probably get maybe a little less of him and a little bit more of some of our other characters as well. But yeah. I think the way they set it up, I think was pretty perfect for a third season premiere. And for us kind of wondering like, what are they going to be able to even do next after last season's finale? So I'm feeling it already.
Oh yeah.
So kind of talking about jumping into our storylines here, we'll definitely get more into Caleb, but one of our characters that we didn't see as much of, but we'll probably see much, much more later, Bernard. We see Bernard is what kind of kicked off the episode too, as we see it's kind of tracking first in Beihai, China, this divergence, and then we see kind of this anomaly detected in Los Angeles and the elevated scrutiny in London. But we realize, because he's talking later in Mandarin, that Bernard is the center of this this kind of focal point in China, and he has gone off to kind of hide there, I guess, to try to avoid the police. We get a little bit of Hale as well too, but really just to say we blamed this all on Bernard. So what do you guys think about this setup of seeing Hale and seeing her kind of, you know, her position of power being questioned, and us knowing that this is kind of the Westworld version of Hale that was modified from last season, and how it set up Bernard being on this kind of a butcher plantation, I don't know, like a cow
meat,
I don't
farm?
Know what to call it.
Yeah,
meat farm, yeah, butcher plantation, but it is seems, not the right word, but
just like kind of with everything else, it seems like they, you know, there's something not quite right about that place. I don't know if they're manufacturing the cows and then using like synthetic meat or something, but with the machines that were there and how the factory looked, like it wasn't just a regular like cow farm.
It was very high tech.
Yeah,
cow clones.
I mean, in this world, it would make sense. Yeah.
That actually, I wasn't even thinking about that, but that makes 100% sense too. And why he would have the emotional connection with a cow whose leg is broken, that the other guy is saying, "Oh, you know, that's there's a couple kilos on there, like we can use it for whatever."
Right.
Because this idea of like what is life versus what's genetically engineered, mm-hmm. and does that make a difference? So yeah, I think that's a really good point that you bring up, because I think that brings up a lot of what kind of the show is about, and about this question of what is life and what is considered to be valuable.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was definitely the main theme of the last season, and I think for a lot of viewers it was kind of very abstract. And I think now, even just within this first episode, being able to like physically see it, I think is going to make it a lot more relatable for a lot of people.
I think I so too. That,
oh, go ahead, Alana.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I will say that Bernard's other personality, Armand, is very, like, he's just like so sad. And I found myself throughout the episode just being like, aw. Like, I just like wanted to give him a hug. And then he would switch back to host Bernard.
I liked his little clicker where he's just like, you know what? I need the tough version of myself right now. Activate.
Yeah. The kicker clicker.
Really interesting. The him self-diagnosing, that was like, wow.
Yeah. All right.
Absolutely.
We're really on season three now. That we gone from the humans diagnosing the hosts to the hosts diagnosing the copies of the humans to now host humans self-diagnosing. Like,
and not being able to trust themselves. I think that was the big thing, was because even with the ass kicker clicker, which is what I'm just dubbing it now, was that he was like, okay, don't forget yourself, you know, like don't hurt them too bad. But from how we see Lee,
he just kills
his ass. Yeah, I was like, well, that does kind of set up this whole idea of like how much control do they have over themselves. And even just getting it in these small doses with Bernard. I do think it's funny though, Alice, that you mentioned how sad he looks, because I was like, that's just Bernard though.
He always has a sad, melancholy disposition.
I feel like Armand honestly was probably even a little happier than poor Bernard, because it's like, at least he was out in a field, like, you know, feeling the wind on his bare head.
I love that the only thing he did to disguise himself was grow his beard longer.
And shave his head. Well, that was the thing. Was he was like, I can't be that guy. That guy has hair and I don't have hair.
Yeah,
like,
and I'm not wearing glasses.
Yeah.
But also, so when was the last time any of you saw a wanted poster?
I know, right?
What's interesting with all the technology, it's on paper versus anybody having it on their phone or like a watch device or a hologram pop up.
It's kind of a mix of like all of the above, but
yeah.
I'm really curious though to see, I think some of the implication is that, you know, just like in our times, not all parts of the world are going to be as advanced or sharing that technology. And that to me is a really interesting question about the whole insight thing. Is that just like a US thing? Is that just like, you know, certain countries, or is that actually like a worldwide implementation?
So in other words, it's inciting a lot of questions.
All right, I'm leaving.
Can't escape, Nate.
I'm just kidding. I'm stuck here.
I know. Even digitally, you can't escape them. But kind of talking now too about where our hosts kind of fit in and about this technology and seeing this new world, we're getting to see it through primarily Caleb's eyes, this new character that has been brought in. Aaron Paul, man, crushing it. What did you guys think of kind of the way that they set up Caleb and having the kind of right out the gate, having the opening all be about Dolores, but having right when it starts, it all being about Caleb and this whole trajectory of finding out that Francis, who's been calling him, is actually passed.
I figured Francis wasn't with us anymore. It felt like an artificial loop. And especially when he gets to the therapist, it reminded me of the like Black Mirror episode where you put in all the data and it's a email or phone thing of someone you care about. And it makes sense too. Like if you're hearing almost generic advice and guidance, but it's from a source that feels close to you, you would be more likely to internalize that. So I thought it was really cool having their conversation happen instead of like, we're not getting our time jumps, but we're getting somebody having a conversation, but we're not seeing them like talking.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely the, probably like a futuristic, I mean, obviously a futuristic way to deal with your own guilt, I guess. And
yeah,
you know, try to get over someone that you lose.
Yes.
I definitely had to like think back because I think they put him into the episode so easily that I was like, wait, was he in the other seasons? Was he on? Was like, I thought at first he was like a security guard and then I like just didn't remember him, but he was like so well put into the episode that I was like, God, was I had to like look back and then I realized like, oh, he's a new character. So it took me a minute to like figure out that he wasn't from season two or season one.
I was a little bummed though that we didn't see Lena Waithe as much as I thought that we would from like the previews and the articles. Like they showed like the picture of her character and I was like, oh, Lena Waithe is going to be in this a bunch. And they're like, nope, but this other dude with this dope shirt that changes and lets you know what emotion he has, he'll be in it. I was like,
that's,
all right, I'll take it.
That's Marshawn Lynch.
I know.
Oh, okay.
That shirt was awesome.
It was really cool.
Yeah,
I have a feeling that we will see both him and Lena Waithe again with the whole Rico app thing.
I think so,
I feel
too.
They would come back, yeah.
What did you guys think about the whole Rico app? I mean, I did love where it was like, you made bank, now get drank. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to say that all the time now. Like,
It actually really makes sense as an app. And it's one of those taking technology that we already know exists and be like, well, what's like 5-10 steps ahead of where this could go? And if you wanted to get something done, but you didn't want to get your hands dirty, why not just pay someone else to do it? And like, you don't need to meet them. And as even we're doing now, we're digitally connecting, but you can get something done without actually having to be in person.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's also a very common plot line that I've been seeing in like TV shows and movies, I think, that are maybe like trying to get put on the big screen. This like kind of like app-based challenge or task-oriented like black web type thing. So I thought it was an interesting thing to tie in. But yeah, I mean, it totally makes sense. And I can see that happening in the future too.
Did you see that when he got his money, he also got awarded 5 crime coins? I was like, what?
Yeah, awesome. I can't wait to rewatch the episode and pause every time one of the screens come up because they put so much detail.
There's a lot, yeah.
And I, you know, unfortunately, didn't really have time to go through all of them, but I'm looking forward to it.
All you need now is Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask you guys, I'm still unclear about what the personals thing means. I mean, I have like a vague idea, but they seem to use it in a way that it has like a specific definition.
Yeah. So what I gathered from that, and you guys let me know if you think differently or kind of expand upon this. The way that I took it, because he was fine with blowing up the ATM, because to him, that wasn't a direct, like that was a victimless crime. Like there wasn't a specific person that was being targeted. But as with a personal, it means there is a specific person that you are having to either commit a crime against or to help out. There's some sort of emotional connection with an actual person, preferably somebody who has a name, I think is what differentials the personals versus, because I mean, it was his first attack, the attack on an ATM was him destroying a machine.
Right.
So
that would make sense, actually, that there just even it, just that there are people involved, I think, is would probably.
Yeah.
Be
it,
and even like the guy at the museum, they're just essentially like, you know, having to physically get involved with a person. And he was so turned off by that. But they're like, well, we're just subduing him, essentially. But I think it's when there's a person involved, because that makes more sense, too, for him of. When you're doing a crime and like there's not a human involved, he's far less like, oh, it's cool. Like nobody's going to get physically hurt or, you know, it's easier to be okay with the crime.
Yeah. Like that whole philosophical idea of like, if you pushed a button and you got $1 million, but somebody would die, like type deal.
Right.
But if they're physically in the room with you.
Yes. Yeah.
Then it makes a difference of like, being actually connected with people.
I wanted to do a quick little shout out. We do have a live chat going on. Welcome everybody live. And since we were talking about personals, we got Davey Elmer said personals would be human on human crime. And Shin Rugal, sorry if I said that wrong, said personals are things like kidnapping and murder. Though I'd say with the guy in the museum-ish space, that wouldn't really be kidnapping or murder, but you're still like possibly hurting him too. Subdue him.
Yeah, but I think that it makes sense if it is like a human interaction element.
Yeah.
Because with that, but I did think that it was really interesting that the guy in the museum, when he was like, well, look, I don't do personals, we just gotta call the cops because he did drugs, he goes to jail just like the rest of us, and they make the point to say he's not like the rest of us because he has money, and they make a big differential, like a big kind of reference to that throughout about how money kind of defines somebody's worth. I mean, even him talking with his mom and him saying to the nurse, you know, I want the best care for my mother, basically, and her saying she probably needs to go to a state-run facility. So it's a lot of social commentary that they do in very direct but also subtle ways, which is a really difficult line to kind of teeter.
Well, and this is the first time we've really seen how the real world is like, I mean, we've always been in the park, and if we've been in the real world, it's been very like minimal. So we've never really seen how like futuristic or technologically advanced or like any, or like even how people interact like in the real world. Yeah. So I think it's going to be interesting to really see, you know, what it's like for people outside the park in real life.
I really liked too getting to see Caleb with George, his like robot helper that he worked with too, and seeing how
the
that
construction
was incorporated.
Guy.
Yeah, like the construction bot. I thought, I mean, just showing where it's like, you know, how robots have become so intrinsic to their entire lifestyle. But then this whole idea going back to Hale saying, you know, robots don't kill people, people kill people. And this idea of like, okay, but then where does it end? If you're going back, it's like, well, yes, you're technically, you know, programming them to do these things. But once they have this idea of free will,
Yeah, I mean, the whole point of the end of season one is that Dolores makes the choice to kill Ford.
Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm.
I don't know how much I would trust that coming from host Hale, who is not even really Hale. We don't even know who's
right.
I did think it was very interesting, though. I mean, it makes sense after that first starting scene with Dolores. But the idea that Delos is just going, like, she's essentially orchestrating a takeover of Delos. Mm-hmm. And wants to resume, you know, creating hosts, as you would if you're trying to start a robot uprising. And the idea of her just being able to take control of the board like that is, I don't know. I'm really curious to see how that's going to play out.
Well, does Dolores know Hale is who she is at this point?
Yes, because this is the Hale.
Yeah, because she
made her. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
We just don't know. We don't know who Hale is. It's one of the hosts from the park is in Hale's body.
But we don't know
Dolores, cool. But that's all we know.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know that when she left at the end, I do kind of wish they would have given a little bit more of a recap, because I went back and rewatched it, but if I hadn't, I would have kind of forgotten because it's been so long. But when she left as Hale, because there was the replica of Hale that then killed the real Hale and took over her place, basically. And left with the five little memory orbs.
The control units.
Units. Then we know that Dolores was in that body at that time, but then used the machine to make Dolores's body. So Bernard is in himself, Dolores is in herself, but there are three others. And we know one of them is Martin.
I was so happy when that happened, because I love that actor, and I was about to be really sad that he was only in one episode, and then I was like, oh, phew, okay, good. I mean, not good for him, but
I really like seeing his regular demise, though, with how like kind of awful he was, that you're just like, ooh, just you wait. And then we get to keep this talented actor around, but in a different thing.
I mean, he wasn't wrong
too, so
no, he wasn't, but he plays such a good bad guy.
Oh yeah, I love him.
I like that we got to see too, like, his American accent that he had, like, at the end, when I was like, what is this? But we don't know who we don't know if the, like, what mind is in the Martin body. So we don't know which of those five were actually taken. So that's part of the question. Mm. And then Caleb, of course, finds Dolores, who is kind of the one who, I hate to say another insight pun, but kind of incites this whole kind of start of the plot that we have. With first her brutal takedown of Jerry. I mean, what did you guys think of this opening before? I mean, this was her cold opening of Dolores coming in, kicking Jerry's ass, is finding out about, like, Eunice being the second wife, this whole, like, we get a whole lot of plot about Jerry and killing his first wife, and then the sweet poetic justice within the course of about 5 minutes.
Is the first wife and the second wife different?
They're
girls?
Yeah, the first, yes.
Okay, I wasn't.
They do look similar,
but I wasn't sure.
Eunice is the second wife, so she's the one that was still in bed that somehow didn't wake up with that opera music.
I thought she had been drugged.
I thought she was a host.
I think they had to have, like, put some sort of something through, because he had his oxygen mask on.
Yeah,
like his.
They must have drugged her such that she stayed asleep for longer.
That's what I was assuming, but I was like, that was real quick that they. Like, I think they showed it to us on the monitor, but it was, like, a real quick, where I was like, I mean, we could have shown that for just another second, but okay. Yeah.
I like the imagery of Dolores sneaking into the house after knocking them out, putting the mask on him, and then sneaking back out and taking a swim.
But a naked swim.
A very naked swim. Before he wakes up.
Do you think she got naked before or after she put the mask on him?
I'm gonna say before.
I thought the wives, because you didn't really get get a good look at them that I thought they looked similar, but if he has like a type that he likes, then I'm like, all right, he got a similar person the second time around. And yeah, that poetic justice at the end, you're just sitting there like, ha.
I assume she was a host.
Okay.
She did seem like a host because when he yelled at her and she just walked away, I was like, oh, she's obviously a host. And she like,
and he says like, you can't leave anymore because it would be a security risk.
Yeah.
And we know that he has stock in Delos, like a massive amount of stock in Delos. One issue with this scene is we see her holding the tablet. He transfers information. She drops the tablet, turns around and walks. And then, of course, later it's revealed that it's actually a hologram and that's why he falls in the pool. I need to watch.
How does the hologram hold the tablet?
Yes, thank you. Where does the switch happen? I don't know if I just missed it.
I thought the same thing because I was like, but how did the hologram hold the physical thing?
Right.
That was the only thing, because later on there was another thing that kind of bothered me. She had glasses where she's like, zoom in. I'm like, buy it. And then she's like, add audio. And I'm like, how do your glasses add audio?
Yes, yes. I was like, wait, how do you get audio?
That was the only thing that I was like, what?
Babe, it's this. Like,
come on.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's my favorite hand wave.
I don't know. It's the computers are everywhere and they're always listening and watching.
Well,
whoever she's talking to all the time, I'm like, they have
I feel like if she had said like hack audio or like something where it was like, oh, there's something recording the audio there. But the way that they've set it up, it seemed like her glasses were recording the audio somehow.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if that was the case, when that waiter walked up to you, it would have sounded louder than the opera music. And like,
I thought that was a guy trying
I thought it was a guy trying to pick her up. But what if she had put something on the dude? And so that's how she could hear in. I mean, we don't ever see it really, but that'd be like the only I put a little something in the pocket.
That's the only thing though, is I wish they would have given us something with that. Like, even if it was like hack microphone, like if she said that, like, then we're like, oh, then she put a mic on, you know, like something, I don't know. It was like, they just are so detailed.
Yes, Nate.
Yeah. She did put an earpiece and glasses on. What's his name that she killed? So, or accident, Jerry. So,
yeah.
I mean, that was cool technology to make you see like your past
memory. That was really cool. And like having him say, oh, take it off, turn it off. And you're just like, well,
which a lot of the guys
in the first place
earlier were saying that that's actually a technology that could potentially be invented soon, or
it's just enhanced VR basically.
Yeah. So
interesting is that Alana Dolores seemed to be able to see what he was seeing as well, which is kind of interesting to me.
Yeah. So a suggestion via the chat, Stephen John Paul says the hologram never touched the tablet. And then I don't know if maybe it was the regular version. I don't know quite where that switch happens, that it's the regular and then the hologram proceeds forward.
Yeah, I need to watch it again for sure.
Yeah. Well, Steven says they just rewatched the scene to check. Well, thank you for checking. But I think their editing was very smooth then, that you are like, wait, how'd that happen?
Yeah. I don't know. I also feel like we're kind of, you know, ripping it apart a little bit more because obviously doing an in-depth analysis, but overall it's like, yeah, I mean, if that's the only kind of inconsistency in this world where I'm like, whoa, what cool cars they have and what cool setup and like, what a cool helicopter. And I'm like, how did the hologram hold the pad? I'm like, all right, I'll cut them a little slack on this. And I'm like, you did create an entire world multiple times.
I also did love that he went out the same way that his first wife did, which is nice, kind of.
Yeah.
Ending.
Sweet justice.
Right. Yes.
But yeah, then we also see Dolores like kind of continue her plan to infiltrate Insight or Robohum. And what did you guys think of this whole thing of her like thing with Liam, and this we're assuming is in London and then flies back to LA because of what we're seeing kind of pop up, and this whole idea. I mean, first, before we even get back to LA, when she's at this party, first things first, shout out to that amazing transformation dress.
Yes.
Oh my
yes.
God.
Yes.
Sorry, Nate. Yeah. You're going to have to deal for just a second while all three of the girls. I was like, oh.
It's a like, very bam. Pretty dress.
I lost it.
I don't understand the practicality. Why not just wear the gold dress from the start? But I guess
because
it doesn't look as cool.
Because she can, yeah.
She was like, is this a cocktail party or a gala?
Yeah. Yes. Well, the other thing too is I kind of was wondering time-wise because I felt she was more blondish at the beginning, but when she's been with Liam, I felt she was a little more strawberry blonde hair. I don't know if anybody else felt the way her hair looked different, because then I was like, wait, how long has she been with Liam? Later, like in LA, she seemed more strawberry, but earlier when we see her with Jerry, it's more straight blonde.
Right, like, but how much time has passed?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
I don't know.
I don't know about hair and how that
I mean, her hair's pulled back in the swim, but I just thought the way she looked when she got to Los Angeles was like a different haircut and color, which couldn't convey a time change. But
I feel like the London to LA was a very quick turnover, because they talk about having to go right away. But I do think with that first scene at Jerry's house, I think that was probably one of the first things that she did when she got
back into
the world, because she, like she said, she needs, in our world, you got to have money, you have to have resources.
Yes.
And obviously by the time that we see her, she's already got that. She has the insight, which is probably even how she got close to Liam in the first place, or knew to get close to Liam. But the money is, you know, what allowed her to get the lease and what allowed her to pretend to be this other person and stuff.
Okay, that's cool. What I was assuming was that the first thing, kind of what happened before the opening, was like what she did right away. That was like the part one of her plan, and then kind of had some time to somewhat adjust, but we can see not really, because when she flies into LA and she's so like kind of taken aback by how it looks, because it's clearly the first time that she's seen it. It also makes you wonder, like, what all has she, like, how, what was she doing in that time span from attacking Jerry to then finding Liam and kind of infiltrating?
Well, yeah, because we don't even really know how much time's passed with Charlotte either, and like that board meeting, because she makes it seem like so nonchalant.
Well,
that,
she says 3 months have passed since.
Oh, she did. Oh, I missed that.
Also, Bernard said it had been 92 days.
Yeah.
92 days, yeah. Just
since he'd seen Dolores. Yeah.
However many hours, yeah. But like, I want to know, what was Dolores doing for 3 months? Like, it's like, you know, if she was buying those dope ass dresses, show me that. I would watch that.
Takes time to have them built.
You know? Yeah. Clearly, she had to build the dress while she was also building all of her friends. It's like she had a lot to do. She did also presumably build 5 bodies, like, so it's like, all right, or somewhere. 4 bodies.
I'm also really curious about the whole idea of like blaming Bernard for all this stuff. Like, what was the point of bringing him back, just to like, I mean, was that the point, just to have somebody to pin it on and like then release him out into the world and have people chase him? I guess I'm not sure. It just
that
seems
was
like
weird
a really
to
interesting
me.
Chess move.
Yeah, that seemed weird to me, because I'm like, if your whole play is that you're like, we want to take over the world, there's only 5 of us, but eventually we want to be everywhere, why would you be like, let's put a target on 1 of the 5? You know, like, there's
he doesn't agree with them, I guess.
Well, I'm also curious where it's going to go, because at first this is one of those like AI, are they good or bad ideas, where so far Dolores is mainly going after people who were evil to her in the world, that you go, all right, she's like, yeah, that time you guys did this. But I'm curious where that expands after that, because like, are there people completely oblivious and innocent who didn't do bad things? Because we can assume there are people who went to Westworld who didn't do horrible acts on the AI there. So I'm wondering where Dolores is going to go after these ripple effects continue, of will there be, does she care if you're innocent? I mean, if you're shooting at her, yeah, she attacks those people at the end. But what about later, when it's just some Joe Smo who maybe is in the wrong spot?
I think she just doesn't think, oh,
Go ahead.
I think she just doesn't think that any humans are innocent, really. Mm, I think that she thinks, like, because we saw her whole thing of, like, these violent delights have violent ends last season when she's hanging everybody and she's giving her whole big speech. It's basically like, you created us and you thought that we were nothing and that we were disposable. So how do you like it? Type deal. I feel like she's still 100% vengeance. Because
I'm gonna cut her a little bit of slack, because I think they made a big point. Like, one of the first things she says to Jerry is, you know, I've already hurt a lot of people. Yep. I've already killed a lot of people. I'm only gonna hurt you if you're gonna hurt me. Which she has the forethought of studying these people to know their personalities, to know who will and who won't hurt her. But I think they included that line for a big reason, because last season she did, like, I'm all for rooting the bad guy. But crazy psycho kill everyone bad guy, not so much. So I think this kind of reins her in a little bit, like you said, gives her a purpose. She's going after people that specifically harmed her or harmed her people, kind of a thing. But yeah, I'd be really curious to see what happens when she does inevitably run up against some kind of innocent or people who are not really, you know, culpable, and how she handles them, especially having Caleb at her side as well.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a big thing, is having Caleb in there. I think that's going to be what kind of changes her perspective towards humans, because we've already had him set up to be somebody that we are naturally empathetic towards. Like, they use basically every kind of, I mean, other than him actually physically rescuing a cat or petting a dog, they were like, here is every kind of script device that you can have to know that this is somebody that we're rooting for. So I feel like if his humanity is what is really defining his character, then that's going to have to play in later, of Dolores kind of questioning why she feels that all of humanity may not be redeemable.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens once she's kind of figured out who all the bigwigs are in Inspire and taking down Delos, and then what does she do? Does she go after just every human, or does she stop?
What did you guys think, too, about her whole conversation with Liam's friend Roderick, when he was going on his whole, like, we're living in a simulation, man, like, his whole...
Simulation in a simulation.
I feel like that was an Easter egg for the fans, for sure. Because there's definitely been, you know, a bunch of wild theories about what's going on, and I don't know. I mean, it makes sense, and it's also really interesting what she said about the brain, and also again, kind of terrifying because she knows humans so well.
Here's your nucleus accumbens. This is specifically what it does, and even if you don't believe in a higher power, this is why your brain is designed that way. And I know, because I could draw it out. You're like, oh. Nice to meet you at a party, creepy.
Yeah, you're like, okay.
she's intense, but I'm liking it. I don't know. I also am interested to see, like, now that the whole Laura persona has been shot, like, is she just going to be full-blown Dolores now? Or, like, how, like, what is she going to introduce herself to Caleb as?
Could she do a whole new identity? She could.
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe, does she have backup options? Like, how expanded is her contingency plans? Like, well, this one died, you know, all the options I had.
Well, right, and she obviously doesn't need Liam anymore, because now she knows the name of the other person.
Yes.
She cloned the security guard, so.
Yep.
So, do you guys, kind of asking about that, about, how she was trying to get the name, and then she gets, like, the Serac name. Do you think that's who they're talking about when they kept saying he? Like, when we see Hale has, like, the empty seat that's digitally in, and then later when they're like, he should concern himself with Delos.
No.
Yes and no.
Different people.
Yeah. This is the person who Martell was talking about. I think the person that's missing from the board is William, is the man in black. That's what I assumed from that.
Yeah, because if Hale already knew who Sarawak was, she would have just told Boris. So I have different people.
That makes sense. So do you think that that's later when, like, Martell is talking about, like, Rohabim or whatever, that's the he that he's talking about is Sarek, when he's like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's the guy who started the company with his father and is the only one who has any type of influence or control over the Rehoboam.
Yeah.
Which is also a completely terrifying concept. I can't think of another like technological dystopia that would be more scary than a giant processing computer that no one has access to, that has all the information about everybody's life and is telling everybody where to go and what to do. Like, yikes, big yikes.
But at the same time, what you just described is kind of like what a lot of religion is kind of based off of. So it's like, you know, when she's talking about the higher power and the idea of, you know, an overarching being that kind of guides your path and about you choosing your path. Like, it seems like all of this is kind of also a metaphor for religion. And this is one of the few times that they really kind of directly draw that parallel by even pointing that out about like the science and the religion about your brain being able to basically be made to comprehend.
Yeah, I mean, there's always been allusions to that, those themes, especially, you know, when we had Ford around all the time, the idea that he is essentially a god who created people. God. Yeah, Bible quotes everywhere, pictures of God. But especially in the second season when he has that scene with Akichita, is when you really kind of get this moment of a god essentially meeting with his creation and the creation kind of coming to terms with like what he is. So I think they're definitely going to pursue that more. And they just seem to be drawing the whole Caleb storyline to me reads as an allegory for the host struggle. Just like, because we see him several times wake up in very similar ways that we saw the hosts wake up from their loops in like the first season. It's heavily implied that he, even though he is a human and he makes his own choices and stuff, he is still kind of stuck in this loop. He doesn't really have control.
Well, it's really like full circle. It's like, you know, Ford was playing God, creating the hosts, and now technology is becoming so advanced that it's becoming the God over all the people. So,
and the description for this episode is, if you find yourself stuck in a loop, walk in a straight line. So it's like, okay, that does seem to be kind of all referencing the same thing. But then that also is like, okay, well then it shows these deep parallels between humanity and man and machine. And where do we draw that line?
Right.
So very interesting all the way around. I really, really liked the way that they have used this, really both characters, then having them kind of convene at the end, I thought was really interesting. And just all the great cameos too. I do hope that we see more of Martell too, because I love seeing that actress not in her full like mantis makeup every now and then.
Yeah, she looked really cool. I like the bleach blonde and pulled back look and just how her character composed herself, and it'd be cool to see more of her, but I feel that might have been just a quick little thing. Well, it's one of those things too, now that Westworld has been out long enough, they could have gotten actors that are like, oh, I want to, can I be on the show at least like peppered in?
Yeah.
The meta aspect of watching a television show.
She got a name though, so I feel pretty confident she's going to return.
That's kind of how I feel. I feel like if they name a character and they get a big enough actor to play them, and then they give them like an actual name. But then at the same time, there's some characters that I'm like, we're not going to see that friend again. And it's like, okay, cool. That's cool that your name's Roderick, but like, we're not going to see you again, buddy. Like, you're going to have to go have your stone revelations off by yourself.
So was he the guy that Caleb, that was like tripping, that Caleb goes to? Or are there different guys?
No, I think they're different guys.
Okay. I just assumed they said he did drugs. And so
assuming that most of the people in this world are doing various drugs, because they also have new kinds of drugs that are like based on like their implants and like different digital stuff. Like, it's like, okay, cool. So now there's downloadable drugs. Like, all right, whatever. I'm on board with this world, I guess.
Yeah, we're getting close. So.
I liked, they had a lot of little subtle references too. Like anytime that they had a song that played that wasn't just like a synth song or one that was created. One was called Human by, I can't even pronounce it, but Sevdalizia. I'm said that wrong, but then the other one was Pulp's Common People. So I liked that everything, even down to the music, has a human slash person theme.
The Death Grip song playing through everyone's implants was fantastic.
Yeah, I was into that. I was into that. But yeah, then the very last thing that we see is after all of the credits, we see where Maeve has been, which is apparently in World War II Germany.
I was like, is this another like Westworld? You know, it's another.
I think it has to be.
Yeah. That's what I thought immediately.
It looks like a war world kind of a
thing.
Yeah.
They had Samurai World and Westworld. They also have War World. I guess that makes sense. Like people who like want to like, if you could have any sort of simulation, they're like, I want to go kill Hitler. It's like, all right.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I could see that. We're like real messed up people. I don't know.
I liked her look and I'm really curious where it's going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a lot of questions about that.
So what do you guys think? Let's move on a little bit. Now, do you guys have any last thoughts on the episode before we move into any of our news and predictions?
I'll save mine for predictions.
Yeah.
I think we did a good job.
We did a good job?
Yeah.
Or they did a good job. Just they, us
them, everybody. Everybody's doing a good job.
Let's keep that good job going. So basically there's not too much news right now about Westworld that I have found, other than it's just saying that, you know, there's a lot of people who are wondering what is going to happen this season mostly, and kind of fan theories. There was one article though that was posted on the 7 possibilities of who could be, of which host could be in Charlotte Hale. So I'm gonna just toss out a few of these and say what you guys think. Some are saying it's a copy of Dolores, another copy of Dolores. Some are saying that it's Angela. Some are saying that it's a copy of Maeve. Some are saying Clementine, Peter Abernathy, Ford, not to be confused with Alice Ford, but would also be a good option. But yeah, so that's what is kind of in the news right now, is that's the options. What do you guys think? Do you think those are good potentials?
I don't know. Like, there's a lot of questions. I don't think it's Maeve. I would be very surprised if it's another copy of Dolores. The Peter Abernathy thing is interesting, but I'm not sure it makes a lot of sense. And also, like, Teddy, I feel like, is the obvious answer, but we know that she uploaded him to the Valley Beyond, so I'm not sure about that one. I don't know. It's really kind of up in the air right now. Probably the Clementine or Angela would be the most likely.
I like
you
the
guys
Clementine
let us know option. What you think. Oh, Clementine?
Yeah.
I think it's either Hale or it's some variation of Dolores mixed with somebody else.
I think it's like a cross-pollination.
I think it might be a cross-pollination. She can still control.
Yeah.
Well, I know that we got to wrap up here, but before we get out of here, I wanted to get some predictions from you guys as well of what you think is going to happen next episode and what we might see a little later on this season as well.
Well, I definitely think that we're going to go back to the park. Obviously, Bernard is already on his way there, which is obviously near Palawan in Indonesia, if anyone wants to go there. I think we're definitely going to see everyone head back to the park. And I'm really interested to see Maeve and whether or not she maybe escapes from World War II land, unless this was like a very long ago in the past, and now we're going to see her come back into present day in the next episode. So
yeah, I think Maeve, I want to see where she's going to go with this new world. And does she still have her daughter in this realm?
No, because her daughter was uploaded.
Yeah,
well, is there another version though? Like if they're keeping the same story, like what is her new plot for this world, or is it something totally different? So I'm just really curious where that's going to go.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest thing with the Maeve thing is we know that the cradle's destroyed, so she couldn't have been rolled back to a previous build, but obviously she's been given a new role. But mm-hmm. it seems like from that scene that she's waking up almost, and like she doesn't know what's going on. She sees the blood in her hands and she's kind of confused. Yep. So I'm really curious kind of what sparks that. But yep. My biggest prediction, I guess, is that this Serac guy and Insight in general, it seems like they're already very close to on the trail of Dolores. They know that something's wrong. They're detecting these anomalies. So I think sooner rather than later, they're going to start to kind of bash heads and confront. And I'm really curious to see how that plays out.
I think you're right too. I think we're going to see some sort of big battle in London, since that's like the big thing of like elevated security. And that's like the last that we see, is that there's something going down in London. So I'm interested to see how that all ties together. And I'm interested really to see how Caleb and Dolores's relationship progresses and how they kind of influence each other too. So,
yes.
But I'm also really excited to hear from all of you guys at home too. So be sure to leave us in the comments your predictions as well as your thoughts on this episode. And where can everybody keep up with you guys in the meantime too?
You guys can find me right here on YouTube at Alice Ford Adventures or on Twitter at Alice L. Ford.
You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
You guys can find me everywhere online at Dog Like Nate. That's dog with two G's.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at Elena J. Jordan. You can find all of us here at AfterBuzz TV back next week. Until then, bye, guys. I love you.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for watching.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.